We have come to the end of another work week, and I want to say thank you to all of you who are supporting Into the Word financially. Anyone that would like to help keeping the program on this radio station, it's easy to do. Just listen to the contact information at the end of today's program. Send your one-time or ongoing gift of any amount to that address, and it will be applied to the radio broadcast fees. Thanks for taking care of that. Fridays, I urge you to be part of a home congregation. You need a home church. A home church needs you. You need to get there on a regular basis for worship and fellowship and study and praise and prayer and encouragement to love and good deeds. Everybody needs that. So if you don't have a place, find a place. If you need help, ask. If you happen to be looking right now and you're within driving distance of the Elkhart East Building, come on over, check us out, and maybe we can convince you to be part of our little fellowship. We are in Exodus chapter 28, talking about the uniform of the high priest. And the most recent thing that we were talking about was the nameplate that is on the forehead of the high priest. It's made of gold. It has letters like a seal. I think they're actually raised. And it says in Hebrew, Kodesh LeYahweh, holy to he who is. And this marked that the high priest was working for God. Everything he did was devoted to God. And I love the fact that this concept of the sealing on the forehead makes it into the New Testament, and particularly in the book of Revelation. You have some very foolish people that take the mark of the beast on the forehead. But then you have the righteous ones who have the name of the Lord on their foreheads. Now, there's debate, of course, whether or not that's literally on their foreheads or whether it's symbolically. Ultimately, I don't think it really matters much to the reality that all of us who are Christians have been sealed with the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every other name, he who is salvation. And so our heads and our hearts, our bodies, belong to the Lord. They are holy to he who is our salvation. And so I love that symbolism, and I love to bring it up right at this point. Since we are a kingdom of priests in the church, we are all wearing the robes of Christ, his righteousness, as we represent God to the people of this world. And so let's make sure we do a good job of it, and that our clothes are white as snow, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We got a little bit left of the uniform. Verse 39, you shall weave the coat in checkerwork of fine linen. So very nice clothing. And you shall make a turban of fine linen, and you shall make a sash embroidered with needlework. The turban, of course, is the hat. As I mentioned last time, I picture it as kind of like a baker's hat that kind of has a band around the forehead and then kind of the loose fabric that kind of falls back over the back of the head. Whatever it looked like, the focal point of that turban would have been the gold plate for the high priest. The sash is the linen belt that kind of brings this whole outfit together. And you can tell here that it is pretty. It's been embroidered. The sashes in the book of Revelation that are mentioned are golden in their main color. And so perhaps gold may have been a predominant color in these priest sashes here. Verse 40. For Aaron's sons, you shall make coats and sashes and caps. So we've been looking at the high priest uniform, which is singular. There is only one. The other priests, in this case, there's four named sons of Aaron, but there are two that apparently work with Aaron right now. They have special clothing, but it's not exactly like the high priest clothing. So you shall make them for glory and beauty. So they are distinctive. They set the priests away from those coming to be represented by the priests to God. Verse 41, you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him, and shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. So the clothing is going to be used as a permanent marker of their ordination, their placement into this responsibility of representing the people to God and God to the people. Something that will happen at the beginning of their service is anointing with oil. Later we will read the formula for the making of this special olive oil to be poured on their heads at the beginning of their life of service. It'll be very fragrant. This will mark them as the anointed ones of God. And in Hebrew, that would make them Mashiach, or the plural of Mashiach. Now, Mashiach might sound familiar because that is the Hebrew name for Messiah, because Jesus is the anointed one of God. Now, the priests will only be one of three key positions of leadership in Israel that will have this anointing oil poured on their heads. Prophets, priests, and kings are anointed for service to God. Now, there is a fourth category that will take place in this part of Israeli history, and that will be for the designers, the actual hands-on artificers of the components of the tabernacle. They will have holy anointing oil poured on them, because they will be dedicated to working with holy material and holy items. And they need to be very specifically designated by God. Verse number 42. You shall make for them linen undergarments to cover their naked flesh. So this is the underwear that I talked about from our perspective that would be put on first. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs. So they're basically kind of long-legged briefs. They've got the longer legs that go down closer to the knee. They don't go past the knee, obviously, because they're still on the thighs. They shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they go into the tent of meeting or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, lest they bear guilt and die. Now, what's this all about? Well, these guys are supposed to be completely and fully dressed in these special uniform garments when they represent God to the people. And when they're out in the more public area, out in the forecourt, the court that's out in front of the tabernacle building, they will sometimes be getting up on probably the ramp ridge that will go around the altar of sacrifice. And you know, when you wear a robe, if it's windy, it can kind of blow up your skirt. You definitely want to have good underwear on if something like that happens. And so that's part of this whole practical side of the story here, that they need to be properly dressed for every possible extenuating circumstance that might occur, because you don't want any embarrassment taking place during their service as priests. So they shall be on Aaron and his sons when they go into the tent of meeting, when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, lest they bear guilt and die. This shall be a statute forever for him and for his offspring after him. So these are the uniforms of the high priest and of the priests from this time forward in Israeli history. If they serve as priests, they need to be in the uniform. Verse 1 of chapter 29. We had talked about the consecration of the priests. Let's go into a little bit more detail of that. Now, this is all happening during the 40 days after the giving of the Ten Commandments and Moses getting additional directives from God. And so it's the summer of the first year of the Exodus. So the tabernacle won't be finished until the first day of the first month of the second year of the Exodus, which means we're still a good 17 months into the future, okay? Not 17 months, a good 7 months into the future for this consecration ceremony to take place. So chapter 29, verse 1. Now this is what you shall do to them to consecrate them, that is to set them aside, to make them holy, to designate them as priests, that they may serve me as priests. Take one bull of the herd and two rams without blemish. So one big animal and two medium-sized animals that are going to be used for sacrificial purposes. And they have to be perfect. Nothing wrong with them. Healthy. Also, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers smeared with oil. In sacrifices, they always used unleavened bread. You shall make them of fine wheat flour. Wheat is a better grain than barley, so they use the top-notch stuff. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in that basket. So all of these baked goods are in a basket now. And then bring the bull and the two rams. So this is what Moses is going to do. He is going to actually function as an officiating priest for the ordination ceremony of the first high priest and of the first serving priests. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Now we have not come to it yet, but there is a big water tank that is going to be placed in front of the tent of meeting. That is the tabernacle building itself. It's going to be full of a whole bunch of water. Now, I want you to get in the habit of erasing from your mind some of the portrayals you have of this water source. As I was growing up in the faith, I remember seeing something that looked like a little bird bath. They referred to it as the laver. And that's not an awful lot of water in a little bird bath. The wording that is used for the actual thing that held water is a cauldron. And not just any old cauldron, it's a word that gets used for big smelting cauldrons. And so it's a whole bunch of water. And so the first thing they do when they come for ordination day is they completely wash Aaron and his two sons. And I have a suspicion that they might have actually been immersed in that big water tank based on later ceremonies that we come into contact with in the New Testament. But they definitely get fully washed, and in so doing, they get rid of their old clothing, their regular clothing. Now, this ceremony is taking place in front of the tabernacle building. It's out in the open, and so it's possible there were other witnesses. So I don't see him stripping down in front of everybody. I think it's possible that a temporary screen might have been put up around the water container, or they may have washed themselves in their current clothing and then wet entered into the holy place and put on their brand new clothing, because that's what's mentioned next. It says, then you shall take the garments and put on Aaron the coat and the robe and the ephod and the breastpiece, girding with the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Now, that crown is actually a reference to the nameplate that says Kodesh LeYahweh, holy to he who is. You shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. So once they're dressed in their brand new clothing, so they've been washed, they're dressed in their brand new clothing, now God says you pour some of the special anointing oil over the top of their head. In a psalm that we'll read later, it'll talk about how the anointing oil goes on his hair and down into his beard, because apparently he's not wearing his turban when Moses pours it on him. And then not only does it go down into his beard, but it drips down and gets on the rest of his clothing, right down to the hem of his robe. Then, after the anointing oil has been poured on, which makes them a Mashiach, a Messiah, an anointed one, you shall bring his sons and put coats on them, and you shall gird Aaron and his sons with sashes and bind caps on them. So make sure after you've dedicated the high priest to service, then you dedicate the serving priests to service. Put them in their uniforms. And then the priesthood shall be theirs by a statute forever. Thus you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. So only direct descendants of Aaron are supposed to be priests serving in the sanctuary service. Verse number 10. Then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting. So now we start dealing with the sacrifice animals. So you bring that bull up to the place in front of the tabernacle building. Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of the bull, and then you shall kill the bull before he who is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So now they confess their sins. Those sins are symbolically placed onto the head of this sacrificial animal. And then Moses, who is officiating this, or he will be about 7 months into the future, he will use a sharp knife and cut the animal's throat, and it immediately bleeds out within a matter of seconds. Now, he has to catch some of that lifeblood in some of the special containers that will be designed for the tabernacles. And this is what he will do with it. Verse 12, you shall take part of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger. Now, remember, the horns of the altar are those symbolic strength horns at the corners of the sacrificial altar. So this ceremony is taking place near the altar of sacrifice. And so now we can imagine that the bull has collapsed, and Moses takes its lifeblood, and he puts his fingers into it, and he anoints the horns of the altar with it. And then the rest of the blood you shall pour out at the base of the altar. So he dumps the remainder of it into the ground, because there is no pavement in the tabernacle. It goes straight into the sand, straight into the dirt. Verse 13, you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails. So now Moses has got to get his knife in there and gut this animal. So you take the fat that is covering the entrails, the long lobe of the liver, so the largest lobe of the liver. So you're pulling that out and you're putting that into probably buckets or bowls or containers of some sort. And the two kidneys with the fat that's on them, and you burn them on the altar. So Moses is the special officiator for the day of commitment for the priest that will then be doing this sort of thing for people later. So you take all of those items up and you burn them on that great big sacrificial altar. But, verse 14, the flesh of the bull and its skin and its dung you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. So the remainder of the animal, which is the majority of it, is going to be probably grabbed with some ropes, and it's going to be pulled out of the camp to a special designated area that will have a place for burning. Now, this is considered a clean area, and so it will be burned up out there off-site, and it will be counted as the sin offering for the priests that are being designated for service. Verse 15, then you shall take one of the rams, and Aaron his son shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram and shall take its blood and throw it against the sides of the altar. So now we have a secondary animal that is sacrificed. Notice that the blood is not smeared on the horns of the altar. It's just thrown against the bronze side of the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, put them with its pieces and its head, and burn the whole ram on the altar. So this is what's referred to as a whole burnt offering. It is a burnt offering to He who is. It is a pleasing aroma of food offering to He who is. So this is a symbolic food offered to God on the day of ordination for the priests. Verse 19, you shall take the other ram. Aaron and his son shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. You shall kill the ram, take part of its blood, put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tips of the right ears of his sons and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the great toes of the right feet, and then throw the rest of the blood against the sides of the altar. Let's not go there yet. Now, this is the actual ordination sacrifice. And so its blood is used to mark Aaron and his priest sons for the job ahead of them. And it is significant where the blood is placed. It is placed apparently on the lobe of the right ear. Now, the right side is considered the controlling side. And it's probably related to the fact that most people are right-handed. I think it's like 70, almost 80% of the world population tends to be right-handed. And so this right-hand side is going to be marked first on the right lobe, which is a symbol of hearing God. And it's not just hearing. In the Hebrew, to hear also means to obey. So the priests are being marked by as those who will obey what they hear from God. The right thumb is marked. And the thumb is what gives us the chance to grab things. Our opposing thumb is special. And so when we take hold of something, we do it. So these priests are being marked as those that will take hold of the work given them, and they're going to get it done. And then it goes on the big toe of the right foot. And of course, the feet are what we use to walk with, and that is symbolic of living and going places. And so the marking of the priest's right big toe says that they are going to walk throughout their lives of service for God. They're going to do things and go places that he wants them to go. And so a very special symbolic marking of the priests by this blood. Now, verse 21, then you shall take part of the blood that is on the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and his sons' garments with him. He and his garments shall be holy and his sons and his sons' garments with him. So you mix a little bit of the anointing oil with a little bit of the blood that remains and kind of flick that use maybe a piece of hyssop and kind of flick it in their general direction. And this marks them overall as belonging to God. And then we're going to run out of time, but basically we're going to take the fat from the ram and the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails and part of the liver. And these things are going to be offered as a sacrificial representation to God. Burnt up as a sacrifice to the Lord. But because of our time, we're going to hold off and come back to that part of the story the next time we get into God's Word.